This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Has your service advisor stressed? Do you have a full lot of vehicles to repair, but have technicians just standing around? Well, I've been asking shop owners if an estimator role in the business is an important hire. I got an earful in this Academy webinar on how the metrics work and the role and responsibilities to consider when hiring an estimator or a parts specialist in your growing busy shop. All three shop owners on my panel have this role in their shop, so stick around and learn. Hey, thanks to our great partners that bring you this episode each week. By the way, how many tabs do you have open on your screen right now? Now, come on, be honest with me. Shopware's all-in-one shop management platform provides a direct integration to more than 3,000 business and marketing tools so you can focus on your day. On the web at getshopware.com, tell them Carm sent you. Hey, your shop is busy and keeping your customers on schedule is more important than ever. Broadly's features keep all your communication in one place, so nothing falls through the cracks. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. And look at this group of guys, John, Mike, and John. Whatever that was, I have to tell you, we always hang out in the green room or in the studio before this. We just have too much fun, guys. Thank you for being here. Hopefully we can get serious and talk about our topic.
Yeah, I'm ready. Wait a minute. We got to get serious.
I thought we already ended the show in the pre-show.
Yeah, you didn't tell us that. It was the 4-minute podcast.
It is incredible. Well, thank you for being here. We always bring you a wide ranging bunch of information that we present to help you find direction and great business acumen here on the podcast. Well, look, let's jump into this great topic. I've been chatting with an awful lot of people about this need for an estimator. And John Bridge, there's two Johns here. John, let me introduce everyone so that no one's confused. John Long from Total True Automotive, multi-shop operator, Schertz Auto Service in Schertz, Texas. And John Bridgewater, Doral Automotive Service, San Leandro, California. I was hanging out with you at, in fact, if you watch my vlog on Vision, you'll see me and John hanging out. And Mike Davidson's here from Parkway Automotive, Little Rock, Arkansas. So, John, you've operated with, and John Bridgewater, you've operated with and without an estimator. And you're the first guy to raise your hand and says, gotta have one.
If you got a one or two man shop, you probably don't. I got four technicians, and I'm finding with the type of shop I want to run, I need two service advisors, and they don't have the time to properly write the quotes. The other advantage to having a service estimator is consistency in the quote. If you have two different people writing quotes, you can have the exact same. I've tried this. I've had the exact same work order, had two people write quotes, and they came out completely different. If you have one person that's writing all the quotes, you know, except when they're on vacation or something, of course, it gives you much more consistency. That one person gets to know which parts are the best parts to get and also the best margins. And it just adds a level of professionalism to the organization.
Mm. You know, before we jump any further, John brings up such a great point. John, you have four techs and two service advisors. So you've got a 2-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
I've heard 3-to-1. John Long, Mike Davidson, what's your perspective?
Typically, I try to look at total office personnel, and I'm almost one office personnel to 1.5 techs is what I'm looking at. And that includes, you know, advisors, parts person, estimator, everybody in the office. So I'm 1 to 1.5 is what I'm trying to look at.
Okay. So 1.5 techs to
yes.
one office.
Correct.
By my calculations, right now I am the estimator and parts guy. When I replace myself with whoever I'm going to put in there, which I haven't even started advertising for yet, that'll free me up to do the things that I need to work on the business. And it should allow me to go to 6 technicians with 2 advisors. Due to the relational business that I want to run, not transactional, I'm not trying to crank people through here. I want to be their friend. I want to be their guidance and trusted authority when it comes to all things transportation. So to do that, my advisors need to have the time to spend with each client as they come through. And assuage their fears, explain to them what our process is. And you don't explain the process one time, you explain the process every time.
We ask our advisors to be superhuman and do so many tasks. And if you look at and break down their day, and if you actually study and watch your advisors from the beginning of the day to the end of the day and write down what they're spending their time on, a majority of it is estimating. So they don't have the time to spend with the clients and develop those relationships and give them positively outrageous service, you know, because they're spending so much time on the phones with parts houses, you know, checking in parts, you know, writing estimates from technicians, having technicians stand behind them and say, hey, where's my part? What's going on with this estimate? You know, you take all that away from the advisor and they've got the time to spend with your clients.
So I've always had someone might call us top heavy, and that's okay. But I've typically had one advisor per two techs. And then in addition to that, I have office personnel. I have two shuttle drivers every day. Also have a facility maintenance person. And now we have, we call them a parts specialist. But our philosophy in making some of these decisions is really threefold. Is how does it benefit the customer, the employee, and the company? And so when we're making decisions like this, we're thinking of that. And then we're also thinking like, in this decision, how do I keep my technician in the bay, wrench in hand, working on car? And how do I keep the service advisor at his desk on the phone talking to customer? That's whose cars are here, by the way. Mm-hmm. We want them fully focused on the cars that are in the shop. So we made some strategic changes over the last couple of years that includes, and this can be different, people have different ideas about this, but we went to a third party live 24/7 answering service, but you can still get directly to our advisors. We figured out a way to do that so that we're able to sort of screen those calls of those customers whose cars are in the shop so they can reach the advisor if they do happen to call. But most of our advisors keep our customers whose cars are in the shop updated throughout the day where that's seldom an incoming call. And so all the appointments and estimates are all now done by somebody else, on the phone estimates, which, you know, we all have stories about that. But then our estimator, sort of what we were talking a little bit before, is like, where, what are some of the other duties they can do? They certainly help with returns. But mine also helps with appointments. When the appointment requests come through electronically, then we reach out to them, have a communication conversation with the customer to get the details. So he assists with that. I just, you know, in preparation for today's topic, I just went directly to each of my people on Monday and said, what's the benefit of having Nick here? I got really firsthand information from the frontline people, what difference it's made in their job.
Yeah, when we first introduced an estimator, you know, back in 2018, my advisors fought it initially because they didn't want to give up that power. You know, they wanted to do everything. They wanted to be the superhuman people that we asked them to be. But after a week, one of them came to me and says, I'll never go back. I'll never write another estimate ever again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did establish that our estimator is the backup for the advisors on estimating, simply because we didn't want to create another bottleneck. We actually have, in addition to our six technicians, we also have a mentor and an apprentice. So we have eight people back there that need activity to occur up front. And so we didn't want to create another bottleneck by having all estimates come through the estimator. So he's there to handle those super long ones. And, you know, those customers that, you know, probably are not your customer and but you've got to still provide an estimate, that sort of thing. So he helps handle a lot of hanging chats.
Is the estimator in training to be a service advisor?
The way we operate, no. I completely think they're two different personalities, two different types of people. You know, doing an estimate requires one skill set, and being an advisor requires a completely different skill set, in my opinion. You know, being an advisor, you have to be a people person. Most of the estimators that we found aren't necessarily the greatest people person. A lot of times they're former technicians with good computer skills. That's not a requirement to be a former technician, but having that technical knowledge helps tremendously in doing that job.
It does. Yeah, what we determined is that our estimator, when an advisor's on vacation, he could give greater assistance to the other advisors, or he could actually even step in and at least know the logistics and the mechanics of getting a customer checked in, checked out. Correct. So he can step in and assist with those duties. So, yeah, I would agree with you, John. That's not the same person as we see I think I saw in some of your comments. It's like, I just, you know, so related to what you said. It's like, that's a totally different person. Do a disc assessment on these two people and you'll find, you know,
they're totally different people
and they're just not suited to do one or the other, which is why technicians can get frustrated with advisors when they're not that detailed.
Hey, John Long, how long has it been that you've had an estimator? And do you have an estimator at both shops?
March of 2018 is when we went to that role. So we have just over 4 years now. I do have an estimator at both shops. You know, at times I have filled in that role, and actually I just did for the past 3 months. But now both the shops are fully staffed again, and we have estimators at both locations. At one location, I also have an additional parts person to help out there as well.
It seems to me that... And I'm not using the word floater in any negative way, but even if that estimator wasn't built, okay, you were talking about disc test and the personality communication profile wasn't built for an SA, they could probably fill in on an emergency because they really know and understand what the workflow is all about at the counter. They may not be perfect, but yet when you lose a service advisor for an illness, a sickness, or a vacation, what would you typically do?
We have had them help a little bit, but you know, one of the biggest things is actually having that estimator is a lot of times that frees up your advisors to where, you know, if you have two advisors, in all reality, that might be an overstaff on sometimes. So, you know, if you have one that's down, your one advisor is still going to be able to handle it for the most part because that estimator is filling in so many of the other critical time-consuming roles.
Tag along that in my case where that estimator would now be doing more estimates today than he normally does.
Correct. And they can help answer the phone, you know, as well. So, I mean, they can help fill in a little bit, but they're already taking away the biggest time consumer of the advisor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, even the phone answering, that's a really good point. Mike, I'd like to talk offline more with you about your phone answering service. But to me, if you don't answer the phone, you're throwing $100 in the garbage every time you miss a call. I actually have a process where my parts guy is fourth in line to answer the phone. And if that phone's not answered by the fourth ring, we've got a problem. So that's very much incorporated in my expectations for that role.
Hey, Carm here. Coming up, what about an estimator role that is virtual? Well, my panel weighs in on that possibility. As much as you love the shop routine you have now, I'll tell you that switching to a cloud-based shop management system will pay off in more ways than you can imagine. Not only will you let go of bad habits that cost you money, you'll free up more time for your techs to fix more cars. Your quotes will be quicker and more accurate, and you'll make more money per part than you ever did before. Hey, we all know time is money, and when you streamline your day, you waste less time on repetitive brain drains. Start fresh by going to your favorite browser and looking up GetShopWare.com, and the orange Book a Demo button will set you on a journey for more profit and less stress. You'll never look back on the web at GetShopWare.com. You know auto shops with tons of five-star reviews, and that doesn't happen overnight. There's actually a strategy to getting all of those positive reviews. Now, Broadly knows how to do it because they are the experts at improving your web presence and increasing your number of five-star Google reviews. There's an optimal time to ask your client for an online review. Now, do you know when? Well, Broadly knows the best time to ask for a review is immediately after service. That's when the experience is fresh, the vehicle looks good, and you've just satisfied your customer's need for safe and reliable transportation. Lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Now, Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space. Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. I want to encourage everyone to check out today's episode that came out. Of course, the show is on Friday, and of course, it'll become a podcast next Thursday. But today, I interviewed Stan Stokes, we would call the episode The New Frontier of Call Conversion Rates. If you listen to this, you may get a little goosebumps on the way he talks about call conversion. He has a company with artificial intelligence that listens to your phone calls and tells you where your opportunities are or missed. And oh, by the way, John, I wrote down, I want to find out what his phone thing is. So you're right. So, Mike, what are you? Wait, let's just ask him, what is this phone thing you're using?
Man, I spent a lot of time bringing this together because, you know, one of the things as I always talk to my frontline people about situations and circumstances when I'm thinking a particular direction. And so one of the things that was keeping them away from being focused on the customers' cars who were in the shop were outside calls for both appointments that people already wanted to schedule an appointment and estimates. I went through a process of saying, looking at potential, you know, options there. So one option is I now have all of our estimates are now done through our website. So then I moved next to an answering service that is live 24/7. So you get a live person, and we created a simple phone tree from everything to exactly the words we want them to say when they answer the phone. To get the customer in the right direction. If they need to talk to a specific person, they can, you know, send that phone call directly to that person, whether it's me or Dustin or one of the other advisors. You just have to look at the phone tree. But like if you were to call my office right now, you would still have the option to talk to Curtis, AJ, or Patrick directly without going through the answering service. And it's clear on how to do that. And I can get you that information in less than 45 seconds. If you don't know who to talk to, or even I say if it's your first time to call, it goes to the answering service. And the answering service knows how to schedule an appointment. Their answering service knows how to direct them to do an estimate online. We just had to cut the phone calls out, whether it was, you know, the time that we've been in, that we've gotten so much busier than we used to be, that I had to come up with something because it was killing my advisors for the amount of time they were on the phone answering calls, taking them away. So we analyzed all that. We looked at these. And so once, you know, it wasn't one and done. So we put it into place and then you go back to the advisors and say, okay, tell me how this is working. And so we had to do a few tweaking here and there. And I think we still have to do maybe some tweaking, but right now we're pretty comfortable with what's happening. And I even put an email out to our customers and asked their opinion about it before we did it and got positive feedback from that. And so far, I don't have issues from customers that it's a problem that, hey, I can't get a hold of anybody or, you know, or I don't like what you're doing or any of that sort of thing. So far it's been a positive experience, but it is a work in progress because we started that in January of this year.
Fascinating, by the way. I would love to go down this rabbit hole, actually, guys, even though we're here to talk about estimators, because I have a problem with my vehicle. The red light's on, it's making noise. So I type in my phone, auto repair near me, Mike Davidson's place comes up, and all I care about is two things. Can you fix it and how much? Now, if I end up going to your live person who's answering the phone, who's going to direct that call, if that's in the script, do they immediately go to an service advisor?
Yeah, if it's a question that can't be answered by the service personnel or by the answering service, then it gets directed to one of the advisors and they just pick one and send it to them.
What'd you think of his answer, John?
I think I want to learn more and see what I can do about making that happen, because a lot of the things you just answered, a lot of the questions that I had that I would like to solve problems on. Specifically, I'm thinking about my CSR. She feels overwhelmed every day because I expect her to make all the follow-up phone calls as well as be the first one to answer the phone. And if I could not have her have to answer the phone as much, that would let her focus on all the follow-ups, you know, the one day, the 4 day, the 30, you know, 15, 30, 60, 90s.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting as I've seen this over the last 90 days and how quiet my office is and how focused my advisors are on the cars who are in the shop. Because that's, again, that was part of my filter is how do I keep the advisor focused on the cars that are in the shop? Because I really believe this with all my heart. If we can give exceptional service and make raving fans out of the customers whose cars are in the shop, we will not have to worry about new customers.
That's right.
And if I look at the part of my marketing strategy is tracking, the number of people that come to our company as a result of friend referrals is huge. It's higher than everything else. And I think it's true for our industry. And then our Google ratings started going up, not because we, you know, paid some company to solicit or do anything. It's just our customers are just having a better experience as a result of it.
And it's all about the experience.
Yeah. And so when, if we can, the advisors can focus on that experience and do that, and they have the time to do that, I'm not really worried about missing that phone call for the customer who wants an estimate on a set of tires or a wheel bearing when we can do that right online now, right on our website.
I was talking to a bunch of guys this earlier in the week, and they had gone and observed a shop, and is from the from a service advisor's perspective, they were seeing all the you know, three or four or five ROs and or DVIs or, you know, waiting for is stacked. And it's almost like that. That's almost like one of those checkboxes, John, that you, you know, again, John Long, I'm asking the question, when you decided to do this a few years back, what was the driver? Was it that you just, you were, too much was falling off the table on a daily basis?
Yeah, we had two issues. We had, you know, number one, the advisors were just so inundated with everything. Mm-hmm. They were running around with chickens, you know, like chickens with their head cut off. Mm-hmm. They were super stressed. And I don't want my team stressed, you know. So that was number one. Number two, our lot was always full of cars, but our technicians were always standing around. Because the advisors were so behind on building the estimates, you know, yes. Going through those DVIs and send, you know, they just didn't have the time to get it done in a timely manner. So it killed our productivity. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest driver was, okay, let's take that away. Give that to one person. That's all they're going to do. That's what they're going to focus on. And that way that can keep the technicians mm-hmm. working and the advisors talking to customers mm-hmm. and giving them that great service.
Yeah. That's so good, John. Cause I think back to, that's a very measurable thing that you just talked about in regards to, is my technician working on a car or not? You know, we call that, you know, we just call that productivity in our company. How much time are they working on the car versus their time in the building? And we call it, you know, I wrote a book on technician time management, and I just talk about that. Like, technician time management helps you measure and determine if the decision to hire an estimator, if the decision to hire a facility maintenance person, if the decision to hire shuttle drivers was the right one, if it's keeping the technician in the bay, wrench in hand, working on cars. So even what we're talking about in regards to the phone service, is my technician in the bay more because the advisor's on the phone more talking to customers whose cars are there selling work? It's measurable. So it helps you make these kind of decisions at a much more informed level than, as Carm said earlier, the gut, you know, no gut decision here.
By 10 o'clock in the morning, you pretty much deep in it, right? John, stress. Okay. But we figured out how to manage that. But a shop that is saying, how do we deal with this? Because most stuff comes in early morning. So by 10 o'clock, if you're not having that wrench, if somebody isn't turning a wrench from the night before or something that was previously scheduled 3 or 4 days out, the vehicle's there, they start at 8. But you've got all those 8 o'clock incomings that you try to, you know, you're trying to make do for, you know, 5 o'clock delivery that day. But there's so much work that has to be done in order to get the yes to get the production the next day. Can an estimator just fill in for, you know, maybe half time? Could it be part time?
I don't think so. I think it's a full time job. Yeah. Well, I guess it also depends on the size of the shop. You know, that's going to be a major factor too. But if your shop has 4 technicians, that estimator, that's a full time job.
Well, here's another interesting thought, and I have actually proven this. An estimator does not have to be on site.
That is correct.
I was writing while I was at Vision. I don't know. I think I talked, Carm, I know I talked to you about this. John, I think you walked by too. I was sitting in the corner in the lobby there writing quotes for most of the day because we were so short-handed. I had to do that.
And I've done that too. I've done it for my house. I've actually written estimates for one shop from the other shop.
Sure.
You know, we have two locations and I've done that from both. So you don't have to be there to do it. It helps, but you don't have to do it.
And I would just add that you don't grow your business without people. People is the only way growth occurs.
Okay, so you said that in argument to a virtual person, or the fact that at least that person's on staff working for you, but maybe be working from home? Is that
the latter, on that they're on staff helping you get things done for the benefit of the customer, where regardless of their location?
I agree. It's better if they're on staff, mm-hmm. on premise, you know, but in a pinch it can be done off premise, but it's always best to be done on premise, in my opinion.
I think with a VoIP phone and a headset, you can put the VoIP right on your computer. You don't even need to have a physical handset. I'm getting ready to hire an estimator, and I can offer an at-home position. I don't think I need the estimator here. The only drawback, the biggest drawback I see, is that you don't get the sense of team. And that's the part that I don't like. But I can certainly offer that and still include them in team exercises.
It just seems to me that the in-shop experience, the eye contact, the feel, the emotion, you know, the speed of the day, all matters to the intensity. And I'm not talking stress here, but the intensity of getting, you know, the job done. If maybe without the intensity of the day, Mike, John, or John, that the estimator may be more accurate and more thorough by not being in the belly of the beast.
Yeah, you know, when I went to all my people and asked them about the benefits of the estimator, the ones that I got the longest list from were from the technicians, the most benefits to having that estimator, you know, there doing things or whatever.
Well, an interesting side point, too. When you're an estimator, it helps to have technical knowledge. It's probably very good to have technical knowledge. I would prefer my service advisors not have technical knowledge so that they're not desk diagnosing, they're not second guessing, they're not anything else. The second guessing and the diagnosing, all that stuff can happen between the estimator and the shop and never involve the front of the house.
When I went to looking for, I call it a part specialist. That's what we call our guy, a part specialist, because we think that's a primary purpose. And so I went out to my vendors and I talked to the people on the counter and the managers of the stores, told them what I was doing, what I was looking for. And I was interested in sharing my compensation package with them. And I wanted to know if I was in the ballpark or not for their industry. And I got some really great feedback locally as to what I should be doing. It helped me put together a great compensation package, and it helped me get the word out within their sphere of influence that I was looking for a part specialist. And the end result is we hired a part specialist from a vendor that's not a regular vendor, but was out of town. And he moved to Little Rock to come to work for us. Wow. And he's just done a terrific job. But he was in a management role for a major parts organization, and he wanted to come to, you know, more small town, or not small town necessarily, but a small business versus corporate. He wanted to get out of corporate. Very smart guy, very intelligent, very detailed. And he was the perfect fit for us through the interview process. But I just wanted to drop in how we found him was through and knowing even what to pay him, because that's always a question we all have. You know, what's a parts specialist make these days? And so the parts people in our market helped me determine what I should pay in our market. And actually, they saw what I was considering to be generous over what they typically see.
Mike, I was Mike Davidson. There's only one Mike here.
One Mike, two Johns, one Carm. And there's only one Carm, period, ever.
There's a lot of Mikes. There's one.
Right? There's one. We all got mics.
I was very interested in what you had to say, Mike, and I'd love you to expound on it when you went to the techs and they had the most encouragement to have the estimator. Can you remember a few of the benefits?
At my age, we just write it down. Are you kidding? Of course I can remember. Of course I can remember. One moment. Yes. Yeah, you bet. You know, I think one of the things that stood out that was pretty common for all of them was when they got the wrong part or they needed something that was, you know, particular or whatever, they would go, they needed to talk to the advisor or whatever. The advisor's on the phone or talking to a customer, and now they're stuck. That part specialist is there to help them, and they get it done. They get it right. So that was one thing they mentioned. The other time is we call it e-time at Parkway when a technician is not working on a car. For whatever reason, he can't be working on a car. It's called e-time. Broadcast message goes out to everyone. But the part specialist, his job is when he sees that E-time, the building is on fire at that point, and now it's time to, he'll go to the advisors, he'll find out what's going on, and he owns that E-time that occurs. And trying to get that technician back busy, because we can't have a lot full of cars, as John said. And then the guy standing around was like, how's this possible? What's going on? And so that was a big thing, is how he's responded to E-time. The wrong parts, when the service advisor's on the phone, they just don't have to wait on the service advisor. And they said they're getting their parts quicker, period. Overall, they're getting their parts quicker. So they're getting them right. They're getting them faster. And when they get stuck, they have one person to go to help them.
It sounds like it's a slam dunk. But guys, you would agree that if you've got two technicians and one service advisor, you're not ready for an estimator slash parts specialist. But say I had three techs and one service advisor. Instead of grooming to a second or a part-time service advisor, bring on the parts specialist slash estimator. Yeah,
that would be a perfect time.
Yeah, I agree. We're looking at another shop, and it's going to have three technicians, and I'm looking at having an advisor and a production parts person in there is the model that I'm going to go to.
That three and one advisor is a lot. And if you can have someone take the weight of those estimates off and a couple of other little things, you know, handling returns, handling labor claims, extended warranty claims, our estimator's doing all those things.
Yeah.
The estimator really is a parts specialist. And I do love, I mean, that's what, you know, I think ASE calls their parts certification, a parts specialist, I do believe. And it wouldn't be bad to have that person have an ASE certification as a parts specialist. But you're right. I guess the technician can't do a thing unless they get the part to start working on the car. Even you know, the diagnostician doesn't need that person, but they do need the estimator to help with at least putting together the quote for diagnostic time. And that relieves the service advisor, to your point. If you're running a consultative relationship style business, that your front person, that personality, that person who loves people and wants to solve problems and build relationships, I think you're right. That referral business, Mike, that you have grown so well, possibly a great offshoot from you realizing that the roles of your people needed to change, or at least the counter has had to have greater focus on the customer than being a paper pusher.
Yeah, and I don't think I really saw that in the beginning, what you just said about the impact it had on our customers. But looking back, and as I look at these reviews and I'm seeing the things that are happening with our customers, I think I'm looking back saying, wow, that out of the hundreds of thousands of decisions I've made in 25 years that were wrong, that was the right one. So I'm going to take credit for that one. And we did the right thing, you know. So yeah, it's been really good, and it's only going to get better. I mean, it's just going to get better.
Mike, you know, you made a great point about parts and the returns and the warranty claims also. That's something that falls through the cracks so easily. When I took over this role, when my estimator left, I found that I didn't do a good enough job of training him. And I found about $3,000 worth of parts that needed to be returned.
Base that on your net, and now you can determine how many sales you got to make up for that $3,000, and it's a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, but going back to Mike's point on the customer reviews, you know, I look at when we made the switch, and I can see our reviews just skyrocketed, and you know, during that time period as well.
That's a great point. I love that, John. Aren't we hunting for 5 stars every day?
We're starting to see the effects of that right now.
Yeah.
A bunch of really great reviews.
That's probably in the top three of a possible benefit. You know, more productive technician, right? Less stressed service advisor, spending more time with the customer, and more 5-star reviews. Maybe it's in the top four. There was a comment that came in from YouTube, but there's an advantage of an estimator seeing the problem, the rust, the why this or that. What's your feedback?
Well, we use digital inspections for that. So our techs will take pictures of the rust. They'll take pictures of the problems, and our advisors, you know, after our estimator, you know, edits that inspection and gives the advisor all the information, they'll review that too before they talk to the customer. So they see all of that still. So they're not completely out of the loop at all.
Yeah, we from a leadership standpoint, we've taught our technicians and trained them that they have the power. We've empowered them to stop the train. So when they see something, say something, as we say these days, that it, you know, you have the responsibility to make sure the company is profitable, and don't just get mad that I'm not going to get whatever I think I ought to for this because of that. You have the, you are empowered to stop the train. And so, but I think it's a great point that the estimator is able to go back and look at the car and see the car, or that he's available to do that. We're the advisors, we know that's not always available.
Yeah. Well, when I was sitting in Vision, you know, we use ProTractor with AutoVitals. So I was using the AutoVitals chat feature to communicate both to people and for job specific stuff, asking questions. Right. If I needed to know something, I typed the question, and a minute or two later, I have the answer. And if more discussion needs to be had, I can make a phone call or whatever. I didn't feel even a little bit disabled writing quotes from 2,000 miles away.
Oh, that's good.
So interesting. I love where technology is leading us, Mike. Thank you for bringing up that whole phone idea. And you know, there's a lot of talk about virtual service advisors, of course, maybe virtual estimators, and who knows? I think we nailed it here that it's probably better to have that parts specialist. I mean, you can't move an item to a core shelf virtually. You just can't do it. And if that parts specialist slash estimator had that responsibility, and you know, Mike and John, how much money's tied up in new returns and cores and warranty claims, it's a huge factor in a business. And many shops that don't pay attention to that, they're actually, that's their profit by the end of the year.
Right. Yeah, and I would add too that our parts specialist receives all the parts in, and he notifies the advisor and the technician involved in that job that the parts are here, and he's closing the purchase orders, and all of our stuff is transferred over into QuickBooks. And so if you do that, you know how important that there's an exact match between the invoices in order for that to happen. And so it's like he's on it. And when I went in last Monday and I saw how few POs there were that were still open, I just had a little pitter-patter in my heart of gratefulness.
I just talked to a shop owner yesterday about matching, okay, PO to invoice to statement to repair order, and the shops that never either realized how important that was or didn't care or have the time, the people to do it, they may not feel the hurt, but there's hurt. This was great. Appreciate three great people that that brought this together. I'm going to give you all a chance to maybe cover something that was, you know, thing you wanted to talk about today. We'll go around the room. I'll let you be last. Mike, John Bridgewater, any final comments to the industry?
I think this industry is going into an awesome new direction. The digital age is certainly 100% here. Having the right people in the right places and building a shop based on relationships rather than transactions is going to be even more important in the future than it is right now. I think people in general are tired of being a number. And so for me, every single person that we interact with is a human being that has emotions and feelings and needs and wants to be cared for. And so having an estimator slash parts person in that position allows the people in the front of the house, the two or three people in that front room, to 100% focus on that person walking in the door and say, hey, we're glad you're here. Everything's going to be fine. If they don't need to write the estimates, that's that much load. My new hire service advisor also said 2 days ago, she says, I feel so much less stressed here than I did at my previous job because of the way things are run. And that spoke volumes for me.
Wow, that helps you understand that the northbound train is going northbound. Thanks, John Bridgewater, Derails Automotive, San Leandro, California. John Long, True Automotive, multi-shop owner, Shirts Automotive. John, your final words.
Take care of your people. Your people are your number one asset, more so than anybody else, more so than anything. So take care of your people. Listen to them. Do for them what you can to ease their lives so they can take care of your clients.
And of course, Mike Davidson, Parkway Automotive. Mike, who has some really fancy stuff going on at his place. You've got a leadership webinar, free thing coming up next week.
Yeah, coming up on Tuesday night. You know, I've taken a deep dive in the last 2 years on the role of leadership in the automotive industry and became a John Maxwell leadership trainer. And so I now do a 15-week course transforming your employees to become leaders who grow leaders. Because I really believe in everything that we talk about with CARM and others in our industry, everything rises and falls on leadership. And if we can take our weakest employee, you know, whatever that is, and and help them understand their role in leading, even if it's just leading themselves, then our company's going to grow. And I think as Carm says, we're going to add water to the bay and all the boats are going to rise. And so I have a leadership, I call it leadership, because the idea is I'm shifting the burden of leadership from the owner over to employees to help them understand I teach the thoughts, the actions, attitudes, and behaviors of the most successful leaders in the world. And I actually, what I do is I invite former students, of course, current and alumni students onto the call to answer questions, because they can answer them a lot better than I can of what the owners want to know. And so if you want to, you can just reach out to me at MikeD@ParkwayAutomotive.net. That's where my heart is I see the opportunity for our industry to grow in leaps and bounds as I help employees understand the thoughts of the owners in different scenarios and situations that occur.
All right, we'll let that be your last word, Mike. Thank you. By the way, Mike has done a 5-part leadership series with us. If you go to remarkableresults.biz, there's a resources tab, and then under that is collections. And when you open that up, just scroll up and find all the episodes, all those 5 episodes in this Mike Davidson collection that we have.
Oh, so I'm now part of a collection. I feel a little bit like an antique, but I'll take it. Either way I can get it, Carm. I appreciate it.
The word collection in my mind is not being an antique, Mike.
Okay. I just didn't know if I'd made it to the collectible shelf or not.
In my mind, collections is a great group of stuff.
Okay, great. All right.
I would think of it more as put up on a pedestal, sir.
Well, thank you, guys. Anyway.
It's a rough stuff, but a great crowd. Guys, thank you so much for being here. And thank you for your support.
Carm.
All right.
Yeah, always.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.